up into my my slideshow thing I have. I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about some stuff that was on my heart and some things that I feel like the Lord is doing, and some couple different dreams the Lord's given recently, and mention them to you because I think there'll be some encouragement for you. And but before I jump into that, I'm just going to pray for a minute. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy to us. Thank you, Father, for the time of worship today and just stirring our heart again, knowing you're coming soon, knowing that you have power and grace for us, God, knowing that you are awakening our hearts to love. Lord, we ask you for just more of that, more of the awakening of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, I ask you, in every place of discouragement that we've had that's kind of held us down, we ask you to lift that off our hearts today. Even today, Lord, we ask you to lift it off our hearts. And Father, help us to see you moving right now. Help us to see you moving, Lord. Help us to see those things which are not as though they are, because it's true. Lord, you are moving. You're doing things in our generation, in our life, Lord. And you're so big. You're so big. You're bigger than any of these issues we face. And we thank you, God, that you are the Almighty One. You're the one who rules from heaven. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Great is your faithfulness. So we ask your blessing today. Be with us. Saturate us with your presence, Lord, in Jesus' name. So I wanted to share with you first about a dream I had last November. This was November the 10th. I shared a little bit about this last weekend, but I forgot the date in which I had this dream. And the dream I had was November the 10th. So before Thanksgiving last year, the Lord gave me this dream. And I'm not going to go into every aspect of it, but I am going to highlight for you a piece of it that I think is very significant about what's going on today. So in this dream, I was in a hotel with my brother Mike, and the owner was showing around other clients into the rooms and stuff in the hotel. And then the next thing I remember is the scene changed, and I was down in a valley area, and there were two snakes disguised in this valley. And I remember that there was great darkness during this time, and it felt like we were in the middle of guerrilla warfare, because you couldn't tell exactly where the snake was. You just knew it was there. And there was this great battle, and it felt like wrestling. That's what it felt like. Like we were wrestling down in the valley. And I can't remember how long this went on. I just remember that was what was happening. And then the next piece of the dream, I escaped up out of the valley back into that hotel area. And I was looking, I was standing on a ledge. The window was open, and I could peer right down into the valley, and it was still full of darkness. And I'm looking at it, and then I began to proclaim something to the darkness that was there. And this is what I said. I said, "You may have won a temporary victory, but you're about to lose everything." Come on. Did you feel that in your soul?
Yeah.
You may have won a temporary victory, but you are about to lose everything.
Amen.
The army of the Lord is coming, and your elaborate schemes will be unraveled. That was the dream. And that's what I declared in November 2019. That's what the Lord gave me. I really believe this is talking about what we've just been going through and what we're currently in. These two snakes. I think, I don't know exactly, and so here's where you know, the prophetic sometimes can make mistakes, okay? Because when God gives revelation, there's sometimes a difficulty understanding interpretation, okay? Interpretation is very important. The revelation's from the Lord, but he also, you also have to go to him to get interpretation. So my best understanding of this is I feel like part of those snakes is, one, it is deception. There's a spirit of deception that's been released that we've been wrestling with, that we've been in guerrilla warfare with for this last year. We're hearing deception from the media. We're hearing deception from hospitals. We're hearing deception from officials. We're hearing deception about this coronavirus crap. I mean, we have been fighting a spirit of deception. So I think that's one of the snakes. The other one I think has to do with just the coronavirus itself, sickness, the disease itself. And I was telling Pastor John the other day, I said, you know, it's interesting, like how this coronavirus thing came, like right when it did, because there was a momentum happening where things where God was putting some things together and doors were opening up and stuff like that. And here's a principle that the enemy always seems to operate by. He always tries to kill what it is God's about to birth. Every time. He always tries to come in the very beginning of it, kill it, so it never breathes and gets moving and takes off and gets any momentum. He'll try to shoot it down at the very beginning. And I feel like that's what a lot of this has been going on this last year. But guess what? The enemy has overplayed his hand. He has overplayed his hand because the army of the Lord is about to be revealed. And I feel like that's actually what's been going on. God has been stirring up in the soul, stirring up his body, getting into intercession, stirring us up into like, wait a minute, I'm not going to allow the enemy to steal my liberty. I'm not going to allow, you know, these things to happen. So I feel like he's overplayed his hand. And so he may have won some temporary victories, some, you know, taken away some liberties for a season, shut down the church for a season, things like that. But he's about to lose everything. He's about to lose everything. The army of the Lord's rising. That's what's happening right now. We need to just to continue to pray. I feel like this is a call to intercession. Lord, raise the army. Give them courage and faith. And you know, right after God gave me this, this is when he began to talk to me out of the book of Joshua. And I felt like, man, I felt like I was sitting on the crystal sea with the Lord himself as he was like pouring into me the book of Joshua. It felt like everything I would read would be like, whew, it would be more than just what was on the page. I'd just start getting this download of what God was going to do. And the first part of the book of Joshua, chapter 1, it mentions this over and over and over. You know, when the Lord says something one time, it's important, right? But when he says it twice, he's putting an exclamation point on. But when he says it three times, holy Matt, you better wake up. It's a coming. His word is settled in heavens. So in the book of Joshua, it mentions this, I think, more than two times. I think it's at least three times. And he says this, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and good courage. In other words, don't let your faith fall to the ground or don't walk around in doubt and unbelief. Be strong. Be of a good courage. Why is that so important? Well, you're going to be fighting.
That's right.
You got to take some new land. And you're not going to get that through mamby-pamby prayers.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Right? It's not going to happen that way. Be strong and of a good courage. Because why? Because the Lord is with you. He's with you. He's not in the other camp. He's with you. He's with you. Amen? Be strong, good courage. And the next theme that God started talking to me out of that was You haven't been this way before. You haven't been this way before. What you're about to face, you've never faced. What you're about to be wrestling and fighting with, you've not fought before. You've not had to face this situation. This is something different. There's a deception that's happening that's been different. So here what we see from this is we see there's God's doing something. He's raising his army, and he's going to unravel and take and tear apart all their elaborate schemes. I'm so excited about that. So, and then just the night before, we were on Friday night, we were doing a meeting in Stanton, Pennsylvania, Virginia. Stuart Straff, next to Stanton. I don't know what the difference is between those two, but I don't know. They're next to each other. Yeah. So we're there, and the Lord gives me a dream. I took a nap right before the meeting, and I had a dream in my little nap. And in the dream, the way the dream came out and how you interpret it was, I was with a group of prophetic people, and we were packing up all of our stuff and our gear, and we were getting ready to go out and minister. And there was another guy who was connected with our prophetic network. He was like putting on his pajamas. And now this guy, he is actually not only involved with the prophetic network, but he has his own ministry, which is like huge on the outside. It's a mission organization. And this mission organization does a ton of things. I mean, they've got like more than 500 missionaries across almost every nation in the world. And some of these missionaries that he helps oversee and provides like an umbrella organization for, they are actually apostles in their countries, where they have, you know, a couple thousand churches underneath them and tens of thousands of people in their congregations. So this guy's, you know, he's well connected. But anyway, he's putting on his pajamas. And I said to him, I said, George, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm putting pajamas. I think I'm going to go to bed early. And, you know, and then that was the end of the dream, because after I said that to her, that's when Michelle woke me up. If you would have waited just another minute, I would have some tremendous revelation. I would have had an interpretation. Don't wake your honey up too early from a nap. God might be saying something. So anyway, but actually that was enough. Everybody got the interpretation, by the way? That's what I thought I'd ask. Yeah. I didn't either. Yeah, you got it. But there's an interesting nuance here. The name George in the Greek and the Hebrew means tiller of the soil or farmer. Okay, now think about that. Tiller of the soil or farmer. Okay, so the farmer's going to sleep, or he's getting ready to go to bed. But the prophetic is getting ready to go out to minister. Now think about that for a minute. What does the mission work field represent? All this work, labor. What does the farmer represent? He's the one who tills the soil. He's the one that does all the planting. He's the one that does all the, you know, watering and nurturing the plants and stuff like that. But now, God's getting ready to send out the prophetic into the harvest. The harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. Are you listening? So are you connecting the two things? The army of the Lord is about to be revealed. The harvest is ready. So I really think that some of the discouragement that we've had is because we've been ready. We just haven't started to go. But I feel like there's a going that's going to be about to take place for all of us. There's a going. And I think in the going, a lot of the discouragement and things that, is, you know, we've kind of carried. I'm not saying as an individual. I'm just saying as a church, that stuff will start washing away. Because when we begin to reap, weeping may endure for a night. Laboring guerrilla warfare, planting, sowing, but joy is coming in the morning. Joy is coming in the morning, and we're going to start reaping. So I just want to encourage you, look for ways for you to begin to reach out, to begin to harvest. Ask the Lord. I feel like that's a now word. Ask the Lord, Father, how do I need to be involved in harvest? And one of the things we're going to talk about, and we're going to do exercises today. We're going to do some exercises in prophetic, okay? Because I feel like the Lord wants to equip the body to operate in the prophetic so that it can be part of the harvest of what God's going to be doing. Amen. So we're going to talk about prophetic ministry and exercises. And actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a little bit of teaching on it, and then we're going to do some exercises this morning. Does that sound good?
Amen.
Yeah, so this is a full participation service. This is not just a one-person stand-up-and-talk service. Amen. Sound good? So how does God speak? All right, so let's just, this is, I know this is going to be some review for some of you. In fact, some of you can probably teach this better than I can teach it, but I'm just going to review some real quick. We're going to talk about how does God speak. We're going to talk a little bit about interpretation, and then we're going to start doing some exercises, all right? So how does God speak? Well, we know from, and by the way, this teaching I'm going to give you in about 5 minutes is more like, you know, a couple hour long presentation and discussion, so I'm just hitting the highlights. So he speaks many times in physical, with your physical senses, your spiritual senses. I call them spiritual. That's how I categorize it. Supernatural encounters and spontaneous flow. So physical senses, like God can, you can get a feeling in your body, and that could be an impression or a revelation from the Lord. So you can get a feeling in your body. You can get like a touch in your body. My wife and I, many times when we ask the Lord for words of knowledge, we'll get a pain in a certain part of our body, and we know, well, wait a minute, that's not normal. I don't typically have that pain or that issue. So we know, no, that's something that God's saying. It's a word of knowledge that he wants to minister and heal somebody in the room with that issue. And so I remember one time, you know, like some of the first times I started stepping out on this, I was flying to Costa Rica, and I was asking the Lord for words of knowledge because I was going to have a healing meeting. So I figured, hey, I'm on the plane. I'll redeem the time. I'll just ask him, Lord, show me some stuff and what you want to do. And as soon as I finished praying, all of a sudden I started getting these different pains in my body. And I'm like going, whoa, whoa, slow down, Lord, slow down. I didn't want you to give it to me that fast. I mean, but... But I ended up getting about, I think, 6 or 7 words of knowledge just on that plane ride, just right after I prayed, just different things in my body. I remember one of the things I had was I had this pain right here in my side, and it wasn't because I had an uncomfortable seat. It was just, I just got this right back here, right below the rib cage on the left side. And I'll fast forward and make it quick, but I was in the first healing meeting there in Costa Rica, and I called that out, and I said, you know, somebody have this issue. And I didn't know exactly what was God going to do with that. I just declared what it was I had. It took a while for people to respond, but then finally this woman came up. And so I just started praying for people. I don't speak Spanish that well. I speak it very little. I had an interpreter. So it was me and the interpreter, and there was all these dozens of people up front. And so I just said, okay, well, I have to do just kind of a corporate prayer thing here, so I kind of started doing that, and then I said, hey, check your body, do something, or whatever. Try to do something you couldn't do before. And then a couple people seemed to be, like, getting something and hooping and hollering. And then I said, okay, let's do it again. You know, we'll pray again. And then all of a sudden, I look over here to this, to my left, and there's this woman. She's, like, weeping, just weeping, weeping, weeping. And I got the interpreter, you know, with my keen sense of discernment, hey, maybe God's doing something. So I get the interpreter. Go talk to her. Bring her up here. Let's see what's going on. And so anyway, she comes up. She was the woman who came up because of the pain in the back there. And we said to her, well, what's happened? And she said, well, I have this condition. And I think it's like COPD. Maybe it was COPD. It's had something to do with that. Where she couldn't catch her breath. She was always out of breath. She couldn't breathe deep. It was just, everything was shallow. And she had been going to the doctor to find out, you know, what's going on here. And the doctor told her, it gave her some kind of diagnosis. But anyway, this diagnosis was not good. In other words, you know, your life is going to be restricted and maybe could end earlier because of what this condition was. And I apologize. We didn't have a physician there, so I couldn't get the right technology term and everything. But she said, when you prayed the second time, I tried to breathe in again. And she said, and when I did, I felt the of the Lord into my lungs. And I was able to breathe deep again, and I hadn't been able to do that in years. And the Lord healed her right there from that condition. And it started, but I want to say this, it started with me in an airplane getting uncomfortable in my seat. Because I asked the Lord, Lord, would you give me a word of knowledge for someone? And God gives me a pain that ends up healing a woman from a lung condition. Come on. Come on. I'm in the pool. And I'm just trying to relax before a meeting there in Costa Rica. And all of a sudden, I started feeling this pain on my chest. I'm like, well, huh, what's going on here? You know, I never had that touch me like that. And I've never had it since. But I felt this pain in my heart area. And I felt like, well, I wonder if I'm having a heart attack or something. That's how I felt. And I thought, well, this isn't normal, and this ain't me. So I just felt, okay, well, this is a strong word of knowledge, Lord. So I released it in that meeting that night. And there was a woman who came up for prayer. And it was, you know, there were several people. This woman came up for prayer, and me and my interpreter were kind of split from each other. We're trying to, like, divide and conquer. And so I come up to her, and I said, can I put my hand on your shoulder? I didn't say it in Spanish because I couldn't speak like that in Spanish. So I just said, like this, you know, yeah. And so I put my hand on her shoulder, and she grabs it and pulls it down close to her heart. And, you know, oh, okay, got to be careful. And so so anyway, I just prayed and, you know, best I could and commanded healing in her body. I didn't know what she needed because I couldn't speak Spanish well enough to know. And so so then prayed for her for a little bit and then, you know, had to keep moving and pray for other people. And then she went and moved over to the side, and I saw her. She was just weeping over in the corner, just over there. But I didn't know actually what happened to her. So, you know, in the meeting we had to leave, we couldn't, I don't know, circumstances are such that I couldn't interview her. And so I didn't know what happened with her. I just knew God did something. I knew he touched her. I didn't know what happened. I knew she was crying. That's all. So then I come back to that city again 6 months later. And as I'm walking down the road into the church to turn into the gate, this cab pulls up. And this person gets out, and then they start running towards me. And it was this woman. And I had the interpreter with me. I said, how are you? I said, I've been wondering these last many months, what happened to you? And then she told me the story. She said, that night, she said, when you pray for people to come up for their heart condition, she said, that was me. And then she said, I have a condition called tachycardia, where the heart just has a rapid heartbeat. It's elevated above 100 beats a minute, and it's abnormal. And people can die from it, you know, if you don't treat it properly. So anyway, she said, I have tachycardia, and I have to take medicine and stuff like that. She said, that night when you came up and had people, you know, come up for prayer, she said, you laid hands on me. She said, when I saw you, when you looked at me, she said, I saw the eyes of Jesus. She said, when I saw you, I saw the eyes of Jesus in you. And then she said, and then when you put your hand on my heart to pray, she said, fire went into my heart. She said, I felt the fire of God come into me. Now, I want you to, I didn't feel anything. And I didn't feel my eyeballs doing anything. I was just being faithful to act on what I had, which I got in a pool while I was relaxing. And she, and then she said, so then later that week, I went to the doctor, and I had him examine me again, and he said to her, and I can't remember her name now, I have her picture on my Facebook somewhere. She said to me, or the doctor said to her, you don't have tachycardia anymore. There's nothing wrong with your heart. It's beating normal. Come on. So God healed her. But it started with something I felt. Okay, so that's what I was talking about, physical senses. So your God can speak to you through your feeling something in your body. Or you could actually see something, like you could look at the clock, but then for some reason, like, you're not seeing it as a clock, you're seeing it as a door or something. That could be the Lord using that. Or you could look at a person, and you're looking at them, and you see them, but it's like, I see Dustin Hoffman for some reason when I look at you, David. I don't know what's going on. You know, so, I mean, but, you know, there's some times when that happens, where you'll look at somebody and it's like, you don't really see that person, you're just like seeing somebody else. Well, that could be a word. That could be the beginning of a word for them. Okay? Or you could hear something, you know? Like you hear a sound, and then, or you could hear a song. But God's using that song as a beginning of revelation. One time I heard a song, see if I can remember the song. Oh, it goes kind of like this. You'll never find a love like mine. I forget how that. By the way, I apologize. I don't know the words that well. that song, okay. What's the name of that song? Does anybody know? John, do you know that one? Come on. Oh gosh, I thought he would know it. Lou Rawls.
Lou Rawls. Yeah.
That's right. Anyway. So I was walking on the beach, and I began to hear that song. And that song talks about there's a love that you'll never find as long as you live on the earth the way I love you. And the Lord began to talk to me. Man, I was like falling apart on the beach. God's singing this song to me, you know. And I'm like, oh, you know, so the Lord can do that. So the hearing, the taste, the feeling, the eyes, all the senses that you have, the five different, what are the five senses? Somebody help me out. Feeling, hearing, tasting, smell. One time I was praying for a woman. I began to smell mentholatum. I'm praying for her. And I said, are you wearing mentholatum? She goes, no. And I said to her, well, I'll tell you what mentholatum means to me. I said, mentholatum means to me that I wear it at night when I'm sleeping because it helps me breathe better. It opens up my nasal passages, helps me breathe better. And I said, are you having trouble with your breathing? And she said, yes, I am. She said, I've been to the doctor for the past several weeks, and for some reason, something's going on with my breathing, and they've done all these tests, and they can't figure it out. And I said, well, the Lord wants to heal you. Let's pray right now. So we began to pray for her, and she got breath right away. So, you know, but that word began with, I smelled mentholatum. And I just thought it was weird because we're in like a public meeting and it was in the middle of the day. And I think, well, you know, now sometimes older people will wear mentholatum. And I'm okay with that. But that's why I asked. But she didn't. Yeah, it smells like, yeah. So physical senses, spiritual senses. So the way I say that, all the physical senses that you have actually can also like translate that into spiritual. So I can actually have a vision as I'm looking at somebody or looking at something or not looking at anything. But in my mind, there's a picture or a movie going on. And that could be God talking to you about something for that situation that you're in. So that's, I call that a spiritual sense. You're seeing with the eyes of your mind or your spirit in that moment, or the eyes of your heart. So you're seeing. You could be hearing something where you're not actually hearing anything, but there's a song floating through your mind, blah, blah, blah. You know, that could be the Lord actually giving you a message. So all the different physical senses that you have, actually you can say those are also, you can see that in the spiritual realm. Paul had this happen to him. He didn't get a feeling in his body, but he looked out over the audience one time, and he saw this man standing, or sitting in the audience, and as he looked at him, it says in the scripture that he perceived. Okay. In other words, he had a feeling, a sense, a spidey sense, I don't know, something. He had a sense the guy had faith to be healed. That's kind of weird. Like, what? But that's what he had. It was a feeling. And so it wasn't he didn't have a pain. He didn't, nothing like that. It was an impression. I'll say it that way. Impression, feeling, a sense. It's hard to describe it, but that's what it was. And then he said to the man, stand up and stretch out your arm. And when he did what Paul said, the guy was healed. And that guy was healed. This was a 40-year, some odd, long, decades-long affliction that this man had. And he was healed because somebody had a feeling. Does that almost feel like, or does that sound kind of like, okay, that sounds a little wonky, doesn't it? I mean, why not? You know, there wasn't an angel that said something. You know, I mean, it's a 40-year affliction. You at least get an angel for a 40-year affliction or something. But no, God used a feeling. What if Paul didn't act on it? What if he did not act on what God was giving him? I'll tell you what will happen. The guy would have went home with his busted up arm, and nothing would have happened. And that guy probably would have never been in another Paul's meetings, and the guy probably would have never been healed. You need to act on what God's showing you. You need to act on what he's saying. Because you're going to set in motion something. Deliverance, healing, future destiny, vision, because of what you do. Okay? So that's like super, super important. Supernatural encounters. You can get dreams. You can have angels come show up to you. You can get transported to another country. God's got all kinds of supernatural encounters. In fact, I believe that God has supernatural encounters that aren't even in the scripture yet that you'll have. I think it's true. And then he can also speak through spontaneous flow, where you just start saying something, and then you just start to flow. And Brother Hammond does that a lot. Bill Hammond, I think he's a great example, somebody to follow on how to operate in spontaneous flow. Okay, so the next one, so interpretation. God speaks many times in symbolism. So I was telling you about that dream I had with the snakes in a dark valley. That's all symbolism. You know, snakes, evil, dark, evil. Valley, CNN. No, I'm just teasing. But, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. So God speaks a lot in symbolism. So sometimes this is another thing where prophetic people have trouble, or when people are trying to prophesy have trouble. Like, they'll get these different pictures, and it's like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to say, I don't know what to say about it. I don't know how to interpret it. I don't know what it means. Well, that's why I mentioned this up here, modes, full, partial, and nothing. So sometimes when you're interpreting, you have the full understanding of what everything it means that, you know, needs to be said, and you say it. And sometimes you just have the partial understanding. You just know a little bit about what it is, but you don't feel like you know the full thing. what I said to you about the dreams earlier, I'm actually giving you a partial interpretation. There's some pieces of it I'm not quite sure about yet. But I'm just giving you exactly what I know right now. Well, so sometimes when you're in the place you're prophesying, you just give what you have. You let God take care of the rest. When you and I prophesy, we prophesy in part and we know in part because we only got part. We only know so much. But there's somebody who knows all the parts. And his name is Holy Spirit. And oh yeah, he's supposed to be involved somehow, right? So we give the part that we have. And then we say, okay, now look, you need to take this and have a conversation with the Lord. Because he's going to give you more. He's going to fill in the blanks as you seek him. And by the way, God does it like that. Remember them parables? He says, well, why is it, Lord, you talk in parables? Well, unto you it's been given to know, but unto them it's not been given. You're the ones who are hungry and interested and want to know. And so because of that, you seek my face and you talk to me about it and you engage in conversation and then I tell you. And then because you don't get it. The hungry are going to be satisfied. The ones who are going after it will be satisfied. So we give what we get. If we got the full, we give it. If we only know part, we give the part. God's doing something in them. Maybe he's trying to stir up hunger and passion in them. And then sometimes you don't know nothing. All you know is, I got a picture of you with a llama. That's all you got. I just see you with a llama. I don't know nothing about that, you know. One time there was a guy, he was doing a training with Steve, and I can't remember his, Steve Thompson. He was doing a training with Steve Thompson. And he was in the back, and, you know, everyone else is getting all these powerful, flowery, you know, half-hour-long messages. You know, that always happens, right?
God's messing with
you. Everybody's getting all these long things or whatever. And this guy in the back, like, all he saw was a kangaroo. That's all he got. So the guy, you know, everyone else said their thing. And then finally, for this girl, he goes, I just saw a kangaroo. That's all I got. And the girl just about lost it. She just about fell apart from that. And here's why. She had been to an Australian mission outreach a year before, and she had felt in her heart the Lord was calling her to go back to Australia, but she didn't know, and she needed confirmation. Isn't that cool? All right, let me say this. What if the guy said, he saw the kangaroo, but he interpreted it like this. I just see the Lord giving you lots of energy, and you're going to jump around, and he's going to give you pockets to carry things, and you're going to have, you know, a fighting spirit. You're going to be able to fight things and work. He would have messed the whole thing up. You see what I'm saying? That's what prophetic people, exactly. Prophetic people do that all the time. Like, just give what you got. Give the part, give the piece that you know, and the rest let the Lord figure it out. You're trying to act like you know everything. Stop it. Because you don't. It's better in the prophetic movement if we would just be humble and say, here's what I got and here's what I don't. But I know God's bigger, and he can fill in the blanks. Amen? So many times God will speak in mystery. There's something about it. There's a reason for the mystery. Mystery draws the heart. And there's many actually other things. I could actually go on a half-hour-long discussion about mystery. Faith, which works by love. The ultimate thing that when you're interpreting, when you're ministering in prophetic, is do it with the eyes of love. If you can make sure that when you're looking at the person that you're ministering to, you're doing it in love. You're seeing with his eyes, you know. And that goes back to the story where Jesus, like, looks at this woman who was caught in adultery, and he's looking at her. Now, everyone else is looking at her and says, that one needs to be stoned. That's what they saw. We need to fill that one up with some rocks. But that's not what Jesus saw. Jesus saw a broken woman, probably had been sold into prostitute stuff by her father as a young girl, didn't know any other lifestyle, couldn't make ends meet, and so she was doing the only thing she knew to do. I don't know what was going on with her. I'm just saying, Jesus saw something a whole lot different than everybody else who was looking with the wrong kind of eyes. So I encourage you, when you're prophesying, ask the Lord to give you his eyes. See him his way. When you do, you'll step into a deeper level of revelation, I think. And at the very least, you'll at least show them love. So if you at least show them love, then, you know, they'll walk away with something good. All right, now, who got blessed in this last activity? Anybody get a good word that blessed them? Look at that. Come on. You know what? To me, this is so cool. I love doing things like this because here's why. It breaks off this fallacy in the church that one person's got to be the one who does the ministry. No, you're the body. You have it. You are carrying the presence of the Lord. You're carrying the words of God. You're carrying, and he wants to use the whole body. I mean, he doesn't want to just use one part. And the other thing I wanted to say to you is this. If you can do it here, you can do it in Walmart. If you can do it here, you can do it at Sirloin House at breakfast to your waitress. Lord, we thank you for this great, momentous day that's coming up, Thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for this country. We thank you that we live in a place of freedom. We thank you, Lord, that there's so many opportunities and blessings, Father, that you've given to this nation, and that we are here, Lord. We live in this time, in this decade, Lord God, of all that you're doing. Lord, we ask your grace upon our nation. We ask you grace for Pastor John and Wellspring Fellowship Church, Lord. We ask you to supercharge this church with your presence, your anointing. Yay. Lord, we ask you to cause the impartation of prophetic unction upon this congregation, Lord. Father, I pray that everything that we were working on today, stirring up, practicing, learning, thinking about, etc., Lord, that you would multiply it in the name of Jesus. Multiply that in them, Lord. I pray for opportunities for them, Lord. I pray that you would give them the spirit of boldness and encouragement, that they wouldn't hold back. But Father, when you begin to move on them, they feel something, they're seeing something, they're hearing something, God, give them the courage to say it. Because when they say it, things happen. When they say it, lives are delivered. When they say it, people get healed. When they say it, new vision happens. When they say it, people get set free. When they say it, businesses are birthed. Lord, I ask that you would give them this awareness, this keen awareness of the fact that you're moving and you want to release your voice here in Martinsville and Collinsville and Danville, all around this area, in the name of Jesus. Now bless them, anoint them, and Lord, let them have mercy on me that I kept them so long today. In Jesus' name, amen.